This week we will be contemplating the genealogy of King David and all the tribe of Judah. If you have been following along chronologically, you know that we are midway through our study of the book of 1 Samuel. In chapter 16 of that book, we have a record of how David was anointed king of Israel by Samuel the prophet. Since that is our next narrative for study, it seemed appropriate to me that we include a consideration of David's lineage here. Our primary source of information on David's line comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, and while we are studying that portion of the chapter, it seemed reasonable to include the entirety of the chapter, and thus to consider the genealogical records for the entire tribe of Judah. Of course, 1 Chronicles 2 is not the only relevant source of information. 1 Chronicles 4 also contains genealogical information for the tribe of Judah. 1 Chronicles 3 gives a list of David's sons. Narrative information in Genesis describes some of the characters involved. The genealogical information recorded for Jesus, as recorded in both Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, also describes David's lineage. Various other passages will also be referenced, and I think in studying this genealogy you will be pleased to find that there are significantly fewer difficulties than we recently found in contemplating genealogical information for the tribe of Benjamin and King Saul. Judah's genealogy fits together with barely a hitch. If you're wondering why we're studying a seemingly boring list of names, I recommend that you go back and listen to some other messages that we have recorded on the topic, including Genealogies of Esau and Seir, Edomite Kings and Chiefs, published January 15, 2017, or Genealogy, Moses, Aaron, and Levites, published August 27th of 2017. Your recommended passages for consideration, then, are all from 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, then chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. If you have not read them yet, I recommend that you pause and read them now. 1 Chronicles 2 opens with a listing of the sons of Israel. These 12 sons, listed just as we might expect, become the fathers of the tribes of Israel. There is nothing controversial here, though I note that the order of the names is perhaps curious. The first six are the sons of Leah, Israel's first wife, and are listed in birth order. That makes sense. But then the other sons are not listed in birth order, nor grouped by mother. It isn't really any problem, just not what we would normally expect. In case you were wondering, I checked Numbers chapter 2, and this is also not the order that the tribes camped in while they were in the wilderness, so who knows where this order came from. Verse 3 lists the sons of Judah, who are the focus of today's study. That verse says that Judah had three sons by a Canaanite woman. Those sons were Er, Onan, and Shelah. This matches perfectly with the narrative of Judah's life given in Genesis chapter 38. Now, depending on the translation you use, you might have some confusion about the name of Judah's wife. 1 Chronicles calls the woman Bathsheba in the ESV, or translating the word Bath, the King James calls her the daughter of Shua. These mean the same thing. The confusion comes in when you look at Genesis. There, the King James translates that Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, comma, whose name was Shua. The comma seems to wrongly suggest that Shua was the name of the daughter. The ESV does better by removing the comma. We note that commas did not exist when the original manuscripts were created. The point, then, is that her name was Bathsheba and that she was the daughter of Shua. However, her name was not Shua. The narrative in Genesis also tells us that Er died childless and that Judah had other children by his daughter-in-law Tamar, twins named Perez and Judah. 1 Chronicles 2, 3-4 agrees with this, telling us also that Judah had five sons in all. We note that Onan also died young. If we are not attentive, it may appear that there is a contradiction between this account of Judah's five sons and that found in 1 Chronicles 4, 1, which reads, "The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal." That could appear to list five sons, all brothers, with only the name of Perez matching the previous descriptor, but that certainly is not the case. Rather, this is apparently just a vague, freewheeling list of some of Judah's prominent descendants. All of these names are indeed found as sons of Judah, but not as direct sons. So in the generation after Judah, there were five brothers, three of whom had named descendants. Those three descendants were Shelah, Perez, and Zerah, of which Perez will be the most important, but let us dispense with his other brothers first. Shelah's sons are listed in 1 Chronicles 4, 21-23. There is no one in that list of any great consequence, and I won't reiterate them, since you can read the list yourself. Apparently some of these men were involved in working in linen or pottery, and one of them even somehow ended up ruling in Moab. 1 Chronicles 2:6 lists the five sons of Shelah's half-brother Zerah: Zimri, Ethan, Heman, Calcol, and Dara. We have little other information about the descendants of Zerah because 1 Chronicles 4 focuses on descendants of Perez, not mentioning descendants of Zerah at all. 1 Chronicles 2:8 informs us that Ethan, son of Zerah, was the father of Azariah. We have context from Joshua chapter 7 that Achan, who stole the devoted things at Jericho, was descended from Carmi, who descended from Zabdi, who descended from Zerah. Of note, Zabdi is not recorded here as a son of Zerah. Evidently, the list of Zerah's sons is incomplete, or maybe Zabdi was a grandson. We remember that ancient Hebrew draws no linguistic distinction between son and grandson. 1 Chronicles 2:7 agrees that Carmi was the father of Achan, but the mention of him here is disjunct from the rest of the genealogy without the context from Joshua. Having dispensed, then, with Zerah's line, we turn now to his twin brother Perez, son of Judah. 1 Chronicles 2:5 lists the sons of Perez as Hezron and Hamul. That record also agrees with Genesis 46:12. Hamul had sons mentioned in Numbers 26:21 as the clan of the Hamulites, but no other record is given of them. Chapter 2 lists the sons of Hezron as Jeremiel, Ram, and Kelubai. But this is not a complete list of sons. We also have, in verses 18 through 24, accounts of more children born to Hezron, including Segub and Caleb, presuming, of course, that Caleb is not an alternate spelling of Kelubai. Ram would be the son who would father King David's line, but let's look at his brothers first. Caleb, son of Hezron, took three wives who are mentioned in 1 Chronicles 2:21 through 24, but he also had multiple concubines mentioned in verses 42 through 50 of the same chapter. He had many children, at least 13. Caleb's father, Hezron, had a wife, evidently much younger than him, named Ephrath or Ephratha. After Hezron died, Caleb took her as his wife, and she became a prominent matron of Israel. Note that 1 Chronicles 4:4 describes Ephratha as being a father, not a mother. We remember here that in Hebrew, masculine nouns can be inclusive of the feminine, but that feminine nouns cannot be inclusive of the masculine, a similar phenomenon as is seen in modern Spanish. So while the language may seem confusing to English speakers, it is correct, and Ephratha was a mother, not a father. Ephratha was the mother of Hur. He was the father of Uri, father of Bezalel. Bezalel was a notable person in that according to Exodus 31, he was the builder of the tabernacle. Looking back at 1 Chronicles 4, Hur was also the father of Bethlehem, meaning evidently the people of Bethlehem. We note that at various points, the scriptures call Bethlehem after the alternate name Ephratha, a reference to Hur's mother. In addition, Hur fathered Ashur, who in some generations fathered the people of Tekoa. Hur was also the forefather of several other clans of people, including Zorah, Eshtaol, and Kiriath Jearim, all cities we have seen before. Another of Hur's descendants were the scribes of Jabez. My supposition is that this place was named for the Jabez mentioned in chapter 4. Jabez was famous for his piety and his prayer of faith that he would be enriched by large borders and an absence of pain, which God answered. Apparently, scribes gathered in the city which thereafter bore his name. Among them was the house of Rechab. The Rechabites are prominently mentioned again in Jeremiah 35 for their great piety despite the culture surrounding them. Following the ancient advice of their forebearer, they continued to live in tents and, much to my liking, refused to drink alcohol. We have lists here of other sons who were born to Caleb and the sons born to them, but few of them strikes me as being of any particular importance. Hebron is a prominent name on the list because there is a city in Judah by that name. Curiously, this list has Aksa listed as Caleb's daughter. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, also had a daughter named Aksa. Maybe it is a coincidence that both Calebs had a daughter with the same name, or maybe Aksa was a family name and both Calebs decided to use it. Or maybe Aksa's name has been stuck in the wrong list here. Whatever the case, it is certainly the fact that some Caleb had a daughter named Aksa. So this isn't wrong so much as it is maybe just a bit disorganized. Caleb's half-sibling Segub fathered Jair. This Jair is not to be confused with the judge of the same name, who likely was named after this Jair. This Jair presents us with something of a mystery, though. Here, it is very clearly stated that Jair was descended from Judah, but in other instances, we have it that he is from the tribe of Manasseh. Jair receives a fair amount of attention in the scriptures for his military exploits. Every source agrees that during the time that Moses conquered the Transjordan, just before Joshua's invasion of the Promised Land, Jair conquered a region in the north of Gilead, which he named after himself. He called it Havoth Jair, meaning the Tents of Jair. This land was allotted to East Manasseh, but Numbers 32:41 called Jair the son of Manasseh, and Deuteronomy 3:14 calls him Jair the Manassite. We mentioned Jair in these contexts in a message titled Tribes East of the Jordan, published June 8th of 2019. As far as I can tell, it is the confident consensus of everyone that Jair was a Judahite by his father, but that his mother was from Manasseh. For whatever reason, it appears that he was accepted by his mother's tribe as one of their own. It probably didn't hurt anything that he won them a bunch of land. While this would be a departure from the normal tribal reckonings, if such is the case, it would be correct enough that Jair was a son of Manasseh, that he was a Manassehite, despite the fact that his father was Segub of Judah. There is another possible hint about Jair's lineage. This is buried in the description of Naphtali's borders in Joshua 19:34. There, we read that the tribe of Naphtali shared a border with Judah, and this is one of the few curiosities about the tribal borders, because Naphtali is the farthest tribe to the north, while Judah is the farthest tribe to the south. Our online interactive map accounts for this by extending the border of Naphtali south through what would otherwise be unallotted land on the banks of the Jordan River, and that is a suitable solution. However, it has been suggested that the reference to Judah's border may in fact be a reference to the land of Havoth Jair. Even though that land is traditionally reckoned as being part of East Manasseh, if it was more technically inhabited by descendants of Judah's male line, then it would be very reasonable to also figure that land is belonging to Judah. Whether or not this is what the passage intends, I suppose I can't say, but if it does intend that, then it would be a hint that Jair was only part Manassehite and also part Judahite. We must also ask just how many cities Jair conquered. Judah has it that there were 60 cities in the border region, which today's passage supports and with which 1 Kings 4:13 agrees. However, the number of cities which Jair himself conquered was probably only the 23, which are also mentioned in today's passage. Judges 10:4 has it that there were 30 cities of Havoth Jair. It may be that this is a round number, or that Israel had acquired or built 7 additional cities in the area in the generations between Jair's lifetime and the time of the Judges. Of note, Machir is here mentioned as the father of Gilead. Gilead is not a person, but a region. Machir, a full-blooded Manassehite, was counted as the father of the region. He is mentioned here not because of a genealogical connection to Judah, but because of his connection to Gilead, wherein is Havoth Jair. Machir was also mentioned in Numbers 32 when Moses apportioned the land east of the Jordan, so this passage is in agreement with that. 1 Chronicles 2:25 through 41 gives us a lengthy list of the sons of Jerahmeel, son of Hezron, Jair's uncle. We have in that list over 36 names extending for as many as 19 generations. However, so far as I know, none of these people ever appears anywhere else in Scripture. So while this genealogy might have been useful for the Israelites at the time when it was compiled, it has little discernible direct value for us today. There is only one point of confusion on this list concerning Shishan. 1 Chronicles 2:31 says, Shishan's son was Ahlai. However, verse 34 says that Shishan had no sons, only daughters. This daughter was given to an Egyptian named Jara and bore Attai. We note here again that Hebrew masculine nouns can be inclusive of the feminine, so it is correct that Shishan had no sons in the strictly masculine sense. However, he did have a son in the sense of vaguely gendered offspring, in his daughter, Ahlai. Ahlai was the daughter given to the Egyptian. This, of course, represents a break in the family line. Everyone after that point was not legally Judean, as the break in the line in verse 32 also suggests, but apparently they were welcomed into the tribe nonetheless. Of the sons of Hezron, Judah's grandson by Perez, Ram is the important one. Ram fathered Amminadab, and Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon is a name we have mentioned before. Numbers 2 and a couple of other passages mention him as the leader of Judah during the time of the wilderness wanderings. From here, we're only 4 generations away from David. Nahshon fathered Salmon, who fathered Boaz, who fathered Obed, who fathered Jesse. This is a piece of the lineage which we've seen relatively recently. Boaz was a prominent character in the book of Ruth, and in the closing verses of that book, chapter 4, verses 17 through 22, there is a quick recap of David's genealogy, with no discrepancies from what is recorded in 1 Chronicles 2. In his genealogy of Jesus, Matthew gives Jesus' lineage starting with Abraham. In verses 2 through 6, he starts with Abraham and ends with David. That list, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Perez, Hezron, Ram, Amminadab, Nahshon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David, is a perfect match with 1 Chronicles 2, which, as we have seen, perfectly matches everything else in the Old Testament. This is not the case in Luke, however. The first difficulty is easy to dispense with. Luke replaced the name Salmon with Sala. Surely just an alternate name, an abbreviated spelling, or a misspelling. The second difficulty, though, is a little harder. Luke has it that Amminadab is the son of Admin, that Admin is the son of Arni, and that Arni is the son of Hezron. This is incongruous with 1 Chronicles 2. 1 Chronicles says, in agreement with everything else in the Bible, that Amminadab is the son of Ram, and that Ram is the son of Hezron. So for some unknown reason, Luke has Ram replaced with Arni and Admin. The first possible solution here is that this may be a corruption of the original text. Some Greek manuscripts have Arni and Admin, while others have Ram, and some English translations to this day have Ram. However, if Arni and Admin were Luke's original intention, he must have been looking at a record which is no longer extant. Perhaps there is a generation in Hezron's line which for whatever reason goes unmentioned elsewhere in Scripture, and Luke had access to that information while we no longer do. Maybe either Arni or Admin is an alternate name for Ram, or maybe we have another pesky Levirate marriage situation in which one man was a legal father while the other was a biological father. In 1 Chronicles 2:13-17, we have a listing of David's siblings, and we can compare this list to 1 Samuel 16. That narrative chapter mentions the names of three of David's brothers. Eliab and Abinadab are in agreement with 1 Chronicles. The third brother is named as Shammah, which is obviously an alternate spelling for Shemaiah in 1 Chronicles. One difficulty in comparing the two lists is that 1 Samuel implies that seven of David's brothers were brought to Samuel before David, who was apparently the eighth, was brought before him. The language here doesn't explicitly say that David had seven brothers, but it does imply that. Meanwhile, 1 Chronicles 2 only lists six brothers for David, saying that David was the seventh. I'm not sure why this is. Perhaps the language in 1 Samuel is including David in the count of all the brothers who passed before Samuel. If not, maybe one of his sisters was included in the count. The word for sons generally can include daughters also. Maybe David had another brother older than him who died young enough that he was forgotten. These were times of war. David had two sisters, Abigail, not to be confused with his second wife Abigail, and Zeruiah. Zeruiah had three sons, David's nephews, all of whom will appear in 2 Samuel. These are Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. Joab would become David's unscrupulous military commander, a major character, and Asahel would run as fast as a deer to his death in battle. Abishai would become chief of David's 30 mighty men and would appear in many stories. He snuck into Saul's camp to steal a water jar while he slept, he rescued David from the giant Ishbi Benob, and he killed 300 men with a spear. And then we move on to the listing of David's children in 1 Chronicles 3:1-9. That passage tells us, in agreement with 2 Samuel 5:4-5, that David reigned first in Hebron for 7 years and then in Jerusalem for 33 years, making a total of 40 years. 2 Samuel 3 lists the sons who were born to David at Hebron. The list there is largely the same as the list in Chronicles. It lists six sons born in those 7 years, all of them to different wives whose names are listed with no discrepancies in both accounts. We note here, of course, that David was a polygamist and that the Bible does not ever explicitly condemn polygamy, but that Deuteronomy 17 does prohibit a king from taking many wives, a prohibition which, in my estimation, David clearly ignored. There is only one difference between the two lists of sons. 1 Samuel lists the second son as Kileab, while 1 Chronicles lists the second son as Daniel. Evidently, these are the same person with alternate names. 2 Samuel 5:13-16 lists the sons born to David at Jerusalem. This list has a few differences when compared to 1 Chronicles 3. Three of the names are missing from Samuel. This is no big deal. The list in Chronicles doesn't claim to be complete. In fact, it mentions that David had other sons by his concubines. We also have alternate spellings on a few names. Shimei in one is Shamua on the other. Elishama in one is Elishua in the other. It's pretty obvious that these are all just alternate or misspellings. Beyond this, 1 Chronicles supplies us with a number of genealogical records for Judah which are seemingly disjunct from the rest of the list. They aren't contradictory and don't suffer from any other abnormalities, but we just don't have a clear connection between their families and the rest of the list. It is possible that these clans were descended from Hur, son of Ephrathah, but that is not totally clear. I have suggested before that some of these may have been families that joined into Judah before the time of the Exodus from Egypt, such that they were accepted into the tribe despite not having a direct genetic link, or maybe that they were just people whose fathers were not mentioned among the long list of sons born to men who had many wives and sons not worthy of note. Who knows? Among the disjunct family heads are Coz, Kelub, Jehalalel, Ezra, not to be confused with the Ezra for whom a book of the Bible is named, Mered, Shimon, and Ishai. We have lists of their wives and their children, among whom there are no names which I recognize as being of particular importance in any other context. Among these disjunct families, we have one which certainly stands out from the crowd, that of Kenaz. As you may recall, see our message, Caleb's Inheritance, published June 14th of 2020, Kenaz was the father of Jephunneh, and Jephunneh was the father of Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies who, along with Joshua, spied out the Promised Land prior to Israel's invasion, and he remained prominent in Israel thereafter. Kenaz was also the father of Othniel, who became Israel's first judge. To conclude, then, today we have considered the genealogy of Judah, particularly emphasizing David's genealogy. In doing so, we have contemplated a wide variety of scriptures referencing Genesis, Numbers, Ruth, Samuel, Chronicles, and even Matthew and Luke. Contemplating David's line from Israel to David's first generation of sons, we have found here very few discrepancies and only a couple which don't have immediately obvious solutions, none of which are irresolvable. There is great congruity here. The tribe of Judah boasted of some great men. They were spies and soldiers, conquerors and kings, men of prominence, and of great religious devotion.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.